Coming up on KUCB News, Red King crab season starts today, and it's the last day to respond to the 2020 census. Stay tuned.
Programming on KUCB is made possible by Redfish Electronics, now providing new, used, and refurbished computers, tablets, iPods, MP3s, phones, phone accessories, and flat screens. We also carry external hard drives for your digital storage needs. Redfish Electronics is located in the airport parking lot next to Northport Rentals. Redfish Electronics can be reached at 359-2205.
Good afternoon. You're listening to KUCB 89.7 FM on Alaska. I'm Hope McKenney with some local news on Thursday, October 15th, 2020. Today marks the opener for the 2020 Red King crab fishing season. The beginning of the king crab season is always a busy time in Unalaska Dutch Harbor, with the arrival of numerous fishermen from all over the country, as well as film and production crew with the widely known television series Deadliest Catch. Despite the influx of fishermen and television crew, this season was a little quieter than usual due to the coronavirus pandemic and local COVID-19 mitigation protocol that required most fishermen to quarantine for 2 weeks. KUCB's Maggie Nelson spoke with a few of the fishermen from the Discovery Channel series to hear more about their experience this season and how the pandemic has affected their time on the island.
It was right place, right time. One of their guys on the last crew, he ended up quitting 2 weeks before they were supposed to go out, and I was next to him when he got the phone call. So I was like, I'll go. And 2 weeks later, here I am.
That's Blake Smithmeyer. He's the Greenhorn on the Summer Bay, a boat made famous on Deadliest Catch by its iconic captain, Wild Bill. Smithmeyer says he was working as a chef at a restaurant in Tacoma, Washington, before his friend, Landon Cheney, the engineer for the Summer Bay, received the call that brought Smithmeyer to Dutch Harbor.
Landon used to date my sister, and then he's the only boyfriend. he's her only boyfriend I actually ever got along with, so we became friends.
Smithmeyer is clearly the new guy on the boat, and in the pot yard where crewmates, and even fishermen from other boats, joined in hassling him. But Smithmeyer says he's using his time as a greenhorn to his advantage, learning as much as he can, especially during quarantine before the season officially begins.
A lot of time cleaning, a lot of time just working, getting to know everything that I was going to be doing, shutting up and listening to what they were saying, so I knew what to do and not to talk too much.
Smithmeyer says he flew up to Anchorage, and from there, they went to Homer, worked on the boat, and then came to Dutch Harbor. When I asked him how long he'd quarantined for, his math didn't quite add up. But maybe we can chalk that up to a rookie mistake. He is a greenhorn, after all.
5 with the flight, 2 days in Homer on the boat, working on the boat, and then 4 days to come here.
He says he'd been quarantined for 13 days, maybe 14. As I quickly added up the numbers he gave me in my head, I got 11. I gave him a quizzical look, and I waited.
Help, I'm new! Help! They all abandoned me.
Despite the discrepancy, Smithmeyer says the island's 2-week quarantine mandate was communicated clearly to the crew.
By our captain and by the production company, they told us everything we needed to do. They spelled it out very well and talked to us on the phone about how we had to quarantine and make sure not to go out, make sure, you know, if we even left a boat to have a mask on to protect.
Mason Twyman on the FV Saga, who came up to the island on September 22nd, says his captain also stressed the importance of observing the quarantine period.
By my captain, you know, he said, hey, we got to do the quarantine, we got to do it right, because if we don't, there's a hefty fine and we can get shut down, the whole boat, the whole business can get shut down right at the start, so.
Twyman says the quarantine period has been a great opportunity for sprucing up the boat and making sure everything is in order. And Landon Cheney, on the Summer Bay, echoes Twyman's appreciation for the extra time to tighten things up before heading out to fish. Cheney also says it's been a good opportunity to develop positive companionship among the crew.
For me personally, it's been really good. It's allowed some of the new guys on the boat to get plugged in with the camaraderie that we like to have on the Summer Bay. That's really important for us. You know, we believe that, you know, we like to gas each other up on the boat and be positive.
According to Twyman, he and his crew had been tested for COVID-19 after their quarantine to ensure that they weren't contagious. Discovery Production employees did not confirm that protocols, such as quarantining or testing, are part of their official mitigation plans. Cheney says he hopes their efforts in quarantining help keep the community safe, and that after the season, the added precautions will help mitigate issues with fishermen leaving the island between or after seasons.
After we work our butts off, I'm really hoping that it's not too complicated to go home and spend time with loved ones.
In Unalaska, I'm Maggie Nelson.
State health officials reported Wednesday that four more Alaskans died of COVID-19 recently. One is a Juneau woman in her 60s who died early Tuesday morning. The other three are Anchorage residents, including two men, one in his 80s and the other in his 70s. A woman in her 20s also died. So far, 64 Alaskans have died since the beginning of the pandemic. In addition to the people who died, 144 more people were diagnosed with COVID-19 infections by Tuesday, including one non-resident. Most of them are from the Anchorage area, where 102 residents tested positive. But there are more than a dozen from the Fairbanks North Star Borough and scattered around 15 other communities in the state. The state's positivity rate, that's the percentage of all coronavirus tests performed that are positive, is at about 4.5% for the last week. That can be a measure of how fast the virus is spreading. State and federal health officials have said that anything over 5% can indicate that the virus is spreading undetected and that communities may need to do more testing. And while the state's average is below that threshold, some individual regions are well above it. State data shows that the Dillingham census area has a positivity rate of more than 16%, while the North Slope and Denali boroughs and the Yukon-Koyukuk census area are all above 11%. Medical officials also reported Wednesday that 56 people in the state are currently in the hospital being treated with COVID-19 or are waiting on test results. A lawsuit is seeking to give absentee voters in Alaska a chance to fix mail-in ballot errors that would prevent their votes from being counted. While voters are able to fix ballot mistakes in some municipal elections, Alaska law doesn't provide for a similar process. State law currently requires that voters be notified if their ballots were rejected within 60 days of the election results being certified. This year, the target date for certifying the results is November 25th, so voters wouldn't be notified until late January. The lawsuit seeks to require the State Division of Elections to notify voters their ballots were rejected because of a lack of signature or identifying information before the votes are certified and to give them a chance to correct it. The filing notes that there will be an unprecedented number of absentee ballots this year and that inexperienced voters are more likely to have their ballots rejected because they made an error. It's the latest in a series of election-related suits against the division. The Alaska Supreme Court ruled on Monday that voters won't need to have witnesses for their absentee ballots, but they are still required to sign the absentee ballot envelopes and provide identifying information. The Department of Law has responded to the lawsuit by arguing that there's no justification for the plaintiffs waiting until shortly before the election to challenge the constitutionality of a long-standing law. Anchorage Superior Court Judge Andrew Guidi is scheduled to hear oral arguments in the case today. More than 17,000 Alaskans' absentee ballots have already been returned to the State Division of Elections. That leaves hundreds of thousands who still have a chance to vote. KTOO's Andrew Kitchenman spoke with Alaska Public Media's Casey Grove about how Alaskans can cast their ballots.
Okay, Andrew, can you first remind us how many different ways people can vote?
Yeah, there are three main ways: absentee, early in-person, and in-person on election day. Let's take those one at a time. You have to request an absentee ballot, and the deadline to apply is October 24th. The Division of Elections must receive it by then, so Alaskans would be wise to apply by mail a few days before then, or they can apply online. There have been roughly 115,000 applications so far. That's more than a third of the total number of votes cast in Alaska in the last presidential election. The way it works is you get the ballots either by mail or electronically, you fill in the ballot, and then you sign it and provide personal identifying information. That's either your voter number, driver's license number, birth date, or part of your social security number. Absentee voters don't need a witness as a result of a state Supreme Court ruling on Monday, but they still need to sign the envelope and provide the personal identifier. Under state law, their vote won't count if they don't do that. The state doesn't have to notify voters that their ballot was rejected until late January. Then there's early voting. That's where you go in person to places designated in each community. That will start in many places next Monday, October 19th. There's a list of early voting locations with the exact days and times it's available in each community, all listed on the Division of Elections website. Finally, Alaskans can vote in person on Election Day. There are some extra safety precautions this year, like spacing out voting booths to maintain social distancing.
There's been more attention on absentee voting than in previous years, in part because of the COVID-19 pandemic. There's also some confusion about what's different and what's still required of voters. Could you help sort some of that out?
It's been a lot, Casey. President Trump has criticized elections that are conducted entirely by mail or where all voters receive absentee ballots, but he also supports absentee ballot systems that require voters to apply. There have been lawsuits related to absentee ballot access all over the country. There have been multiple lawsuits in Alaska. One was resolved on Monday when the Alaska Supreme Court said absentee voters don't need witnesses to sign their ballots. But again, voters still need to sign it and provide identifying information. There's a second lawsuit that seeks to allow voters a chance to fix their ballots if they neglect to sign it or provide an identifier. There will be oral arguments on that case on Thursday. But until there's a change, absentee voters should still sign their ballots and provide identifying information. I want to talk about putting absentee ballots in the mail. The U.S. Postal Service actually sends mail across Alaska to be postmarked in Anchorage if you don't ask for it to be postmarked in person. Mailed absentee ballots must be postmarked by Election Day. So if it's Election Day or even close to Election Day, take your absentee ballot to your post office and ask the clerk to postmark it there and then.
So there's been public concern about making sure there aren't obstacles to voting, but others say if there aren't enough safeguards, there could be fraudulent ballots cast. How would you describe how accessible and safe voting is in Alaska?
A big mark in Alaska's favor is that nearly all Alaskans are registered to vote, in part because of a 2016 ballot measure that passed by a wide margin that allows everyone to register to vote when they register for their permanent fund dividends. And as we've talked about, the Supreme Court removed the witness requirement for this year's election, so that increases access. And the state provides voter assistance in several Alaska Native languages, as well as in Spanish and Filipino or Tagalog. Also, to prevent fraud, the division has that requirement to provide signatures. Election workers check voter signatures against the ones on record.
That was KTO's Andrew Kitchenman speaking with Alaska Public Media's Casey Grove. Meanwhile, in-person absentee and early voting starts in Unalaska on Monday. To make an appointment to vote at City Hall, call the clerk's office at 581-1251. Again, that's 581-1251. Voters can also request a ballot by mail, email, or fax by filling out an application on the State Division of Elections website at elections.alaska.gov or pick up a paper application at City Hall. Election Day is November 3rd. The polls will be open at City Hall from 7 a.m. to 8 p.m. And today is the last day to respond to the 2020 census. Census data, which is collected every 10 years, is used to determine how much money communities get from the federal government to fund schools and roads, as well as public programs like Medicaid and the Supplemental Nutrition Assistance Program, or SNAP. To fill out the short 10-question form, you can visit 2020census.gov. Again, that's 2020census.gov. KUCB held its annual 24-hour pledge drive last Friday. For those who pledged but weren't able to pick up thank you gifts during the event due to our COVID-19 mitigation measures, KUCB is holding two curbside pickup days at the Burma Road Chapel. Stop by to pick up your membership thank you gifts tomorrow, October 16th, or next Friday, October 23rd, from 3 to 6 p.m. or by appointment. For more information, contact info@kucb.org. And this week, in recognition of Indigenous Peoples Day, we are playing a four-part documentary called Definition of Resilience, a series highlighting the dynamic stories of Native American hip-hop and its contribution to modern music. Each episode follows two artists who share their story and Indigenous history. Yesterday, we played part three, and today, we are airing the final episode of the series. That's up next. And that's the news from Unalaska. I'm Hope McKenney, and you're listening to KUCB 89.7 FM. Find us online at kucb.org, and please stay tuned for your local and marine weather forecasts.